Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from James chapter 1. We read verses 21 through 27. So after getting rid of all moral filthiness and overflowing wickedness, receive with humility the word planted in you. It is able to save your souls. Be people who do what the word says, not people who only hear it. Such people are deceiving themselves. In fact, if anyone hears the word and does not do what it says, he is like a man who carefully looks at his own natural face in a mirror. Indeed, he carefully looks at himself, then he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of freedom, and continues to do so, since he does not hear and forget, but actually does what it says, that person will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself to be religious, but deceives his own heart because he does not bridle his tongue, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled in the sight of God the Father is this: to take care of orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. There's a story told about a man who owned a very successful growing business here in the United States. He wanted to expand his business overseas, so he made arrangements to move his family to Europe for a year to get things set up and get things started and running over there. Before he left the United States, he put his manager in charge of his stateside operations and told him that he would send regular letters from Europe spelling out all of his instructions and all of his expectations. Sure enough, as the months went by, the owner sent a steady flow of letters to his manager spelling out everything the owner wanted done. After the year passed, the owner was shocked. He was appalled when he returned to his stateside headquarters and found the place was in complete disarray, in complete shambles. The lawn hadn't been maintained. Some of the office windows were broken. The place hadn't been cleaned or vacuumed in months. Worst of all, when the owner returned, he found that no one was working. The receptionist was doing her nails. The employees were playing games. Even the manager was just with them playing games, or they were sitting around watching TV. So furious and flabbergasted, the owner found his manager and demanded, "What in the world is going on here?" "What do you mean?" the manager replied. "Well, look at this place," the owner said. "Didn't you get any of my letters?" "Letters?" the manager said. "Oh, yes, we got all of your letters. In fact, we've got a letter study every single Wednesday night since you've left. We've even divided ourselves into small personnel groups to discuss the many things that you wrote to us. Some of those things you wrote were really interesting. You'll be pleased to know that some of us have actually even committed some of those sentences and paragraphs you wrote to memory. Some have even memorized whole letters. Great stuff in those letters." "Okay, so you got the letters," the owner said, "but what did you do about them? You memorized them, you read them, you studied them, you meditated on them. What did you do about them?" "Do?" the manager replied. "We didn't do anything about them." Does that illustration sound a little familiar? Do you get the point of that illustration? Does it remind anyone a little bit of church? Coming to hear God's word every Sunday, do we always come wanting not just to hear God's word, but also come expecting to also do what it says? Does our religion begin and end at our worship service on Sunday, but go no further during the week? This is the type of attitude that James is warning against in our text when he writes, "Be people who do what the word says, not people who only hear it. Such people are deceiving themselves." When we read sections of the book of James, or read the book of James in its entirety, we need to remember James's audience, the people he was writing the letter originally to. The people he was writing to were Jewish Christians in Judea who had now heard the gospel for quite some time. They'd actually heard it for about a generation. But they were now in danger of falling away from their first love. They were people who had become very complacent in their faith and were in danger of losing their faith in Christ altogether. They'd begun to fall into this trap of thinking that because they knew they were saved, because they knew they were forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus, they could just go and do whatever they wanted. Could live their life however they pleased. James is reminding the people in this letter that true saving faith is a living faith, an active faith. And that hearing the word of God should be accompanied also by actions, what we often call the fruits of faith, or the proof that your faith is alive and active. We use that term fruits of faith because, like a tree, you know a tree is alive and active when it produces fruits. If it's not producing fruits, it's a bad sign. That tree may be dead. Whenever we read from the book of James, we also have to remember to keep one thing clear. James is not saying here or in any part of his letter that we are not saved, justified, declared righteous in God's sight. He does not say we're not justified by our faith. We are justified by our faith alone. What he is trying to say is that sanctification, or our life of faith, is important when that faith is created in us. He's not saying that we're not saved by faith alone, because look at the very first verse we read in our text. He's talking about the saving gospel message when he says, "Receive with humility the word planted in you. It is able to save your souls." He points to the word and faith in that word as the way of salvation. But that new life that Jesus gives us through faith in his word is a life that is set apart. A new life that should look different from the life that we led before we were brought to faith in Jesus. A life that serves God and loves God out of thankfulness and joy. Our faith, if it is real and living, will be shown by what we say and what we do. And so James is reminding his readers that unless sanctification, that is, godly living, follows our justification, our salvation, they are deceiving their own hearts. Again, we read from 23 and 24 of our text. He says, "In fact, if anyone hears the word and does not do what it says, he is like a man who carefully looks at his own natural face in a mirror. Indeed, he carefully looks at himself, then he goes away and immediately forgets what he looked like." James is not speaking here about people who hear God's word but then do a poor job of putting that word into practice or perform it poorly. He's warning against someone who hears and deceives himself into thinking that he's actually doing something good because he promptly forgets, doesn't care at all to do what God's word says. He's referring here to someone who is a hearer only, someone who hears without real faith. When you hear these words today, are you moved then to apply these words to yourself? Is this one of those sermon texts that makes you feel really comfortable in the pew? It's not a sermon text that makes me feel comfortable in the pew. It makes one of those texts that makes me look into my own heart. It should for all of us. It should move us to take a good look into our own hearts and examine our own attitudes and actions and ask ourselves the question that James prompts in these verses. Am I a doer of the word, or am I a hearer only? Do I come to church just to hear a few nice words from the pastor that make me feel a little better as I go about my week, but then I kind of just forget about what I heard and don't really bother putting any of that into practice in my everyday life? Do we allow those words of God to sink into our hearts, receiving with humility, as James says, the word planted in you? It is able to save your souls. Or do we close ourselves off? Do we let those words go in one ear and out the other, and by the time we're done with the church service today, we don't even remember what we did or what we said? Are we deceiving ourselves about our faith as James warns against in our text. Notice that he warns against self-deception twice in just seven verses. What he's doing there is also reminding us that the status of our faith is a very important, but also a very personal matter. It's truly only known between us personally and God himself. That is why an honest self-evaluation of our faith and its fruits, our actions and our words, is very important. If we do actually take the time to examine our hearts and our lives and consider the status of our faith, that's good news. It's the first sign that you are not just a hearer of God's word, but you're actually a doer. If you were just a hearer only of God's word, you would not care. You wouldn't even be concerned about whether or not your faith was genuine, or whether or not you were a hearer or just a doer, or just a hearer of the word, not a doer. You wouldn't be concerned about your words and actions and if they lined up with God's word or not. And so when we hear and read God's word, the first thing we hear God's word call us to do is to repent. And repentance is a word that means literally to turn around. It means to have a change of heart. To turn away from our sin, sinful thoughts, sinful actions, sinful attitudes and words, and turn instead to Jesus in faith for forgiveness. When we compare our hearts and our lives to God's standard and to the examples that he gives us in our text, it's what our hearts should be moved to do. Move to repentance, a change of heart. Sorrow over our sins and our failings when it comes to God and his word, and turning to Jesus for forgiveness, relying on him to wash us clean and to give us new hearts and new lives of faith. Listen again to what James writes in the last two verses of our text. He says, "If anyone considers himself to be religious but deceives his own heart because he does not bridle his tongue, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled in the sight of God the Father is this, to take care of orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world." So raise your hand if you've measured up to those standards just listed in the first and the last two verses of our text this week. If you have kept those standards perfectly, please do raise your hand. Anyone here always bridled their tongue? No harsh words? No unkind words to anyone? No crude or ungodly language that's not appropriate for a child of God? Okay, how about caring for those who cannot or have a hard time caring for themselves? James refers here to taking care of widows and orphans in their affliction. Anyone here always taking care of people the way they should? Always help those in need as often as we could? Or were we too busy? Or even worse, was our heart just too cold? How about keeping ourselves unstained by the world? Have our actions and our words always set us apart, made us look different from the world as children of God? Or have we lived like the world in our lives? Watched and listened to some of the same ungodly things that the world always does? Have we lived and looked like a light in this world? Stood up for Christ, shared him with others as often as we could or we should? I'm guessing that your answers to those questions are the same as mine. No, I have not. So what are we going to do? We do what we always should do. We turn to Jesus. We're going to turn to Jesus and cling to that cross and thank Jesus for forgiving even our cold, thankless hearts, for forgiving sinners like us. And we're going to drink deeply of his grace, fully appreciate just how much he has forgiven us, and be grateful for the rescue from death, not just the physical death, but eternal death, which our sins earned for us. How can we now hear this saving word, the gospel that God has planted into our hearts, which is able to save our souls, and then forget about it turn around and act like we never heard it, or just act in such a way that we're essentially saying, yes, I know what you did for me, Jesus, but it doesn't really mean enough to me to make any difference at all in my life or in the way I treat others. That would be as ridiculous, as James says, as looking in the mirror and the next second forgetting what you look like. So how can we bridle our tongues, warm our cold, uncompassionate hearts, and free ourselves from the filth of this unbelieving world and become doers of God's word with a living and active faith? Well, we can't do it, but God can. God can, and he works those changes in our hearts and lives through his word, namely through that gospel message of his love and his forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:16 encourages us to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it? Letting the word dwell in you richly. Dwell richly in Jesus' word. James says in our text to continue in it. Verse 25, he says, but the one who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of freedom, and continues to do so, since he does not hear and forget, but actually does what it says, that person will be blessed in what he does. We will be blessed when we dwell richly in God's word. We are blessed when we continue in God's word and do what it says, because that there is the evidence of saving faith in Jesus. We'll bring glory to God with our words and our actions, and our lives really, truly will be blessed when we live in the liberty of saying no to sin and saying yes to God's holy will for our lives. A man once came very late to church one Sunday, and as he walked into the entrance of the church at the back of the sanctuary, he asked an usher, is the sermon done yet? The usher very wisely answered, the sermon has been preached, but it's yet to be done. Well, the sermon now has been preached, but it's yet to be done. May God in his grace move all of us to be not just hearers of the word, but doers also. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.